Hi there, and thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast, where we make adulting easier by making money easier. This is your host, Lauren, and I'm joined today by Ruthie of Ruthie Rentals. Ruthie is new to the Twitter/X space and is just starting to build her connections to others who are inheriting mom and pop rentals. You can find her on Twitter at Ruthie Rentals. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
Our goal for today is to make adulting easier for listeners by discussing a personal finance topic, since managing money is a big part of adulting. So today, given your bio, obviously, we're going to talk about inheriting properties. And the first question I think naturally is, how do you even inherit a property?
Right. So inheriting property generally occurs when someone passes away and they leave their property to an individual. This is different from a purchase where you have to go through usually a financing process, or if you happen to have, you know, a pile of cash, you can buy it cash, but there's still a whole bunch of paperwork involved, or a gift. So a gift is when the person who owns the property still is alive. Inheritance only happens when the previous owner passes away. Eventually, all of us are going to pass away, and they're going to need to face the prospect of what that means for us, either when we're the inheritors who have to manage what's left by usually parents or grandparents or other relatives, or when we're the ones who are contemplating what's going to happen when we pass, and how we want our assets and properties, our stuff, to be distributed and used to take care of our own, you know, children and loved ones.
Are there different ways to inherit a property?
Yeah. So there's two kind of main ways that you can inherit a property. One is through a specific choice to pass down a property or a proportion of your assets in a will or a trust. So that is when the property is left to the inheritor because the deceased person specifically decided that they wanted them to have it, or they wanted them to have a portion of their total assets, which include the property. And they made some formal arrangements to record this in a will or trust. So this can happen from a direct relative, like a parent or a grandparent. It can happen from an extended relative, like an aunt or a cousin, or it can even happen to someone who you're not related to, a friend or someone who cares for you and thinks that a property would be like an amazing thing for your life. And so that does happen. That's when you're specifically left a property. The other way is if there is no will or trust, or there's some sort of problem with the will or trust, and the deceased was a relative, then the inheritance laws of the state where the deceased person resided usually dictate kind of the waterfall cascade of which inheritors receive all or a portion of the deceased person's property or assets, and what portion goes to what person. So if, you know, your parent passes away and they didn't have any will or any trust, you and your siblings will usually inherit whatever it is that they had.
It just occurred to me that this could be a problem. Let's say I have three kids and I own three properties. Let's say I own three side-by-side duplexes all next door to each other, and they're all worth about the same. They all collect the same rents. They all have the same amount of deferred capital expenditure, deferred maintenance. If I don't, I could, the easiest thing would be child one gets this one, child two gets this one, child three gets this one. But if I don't do that, then the rules are probably each kid gets a third. And yes, that would be really inefficient.
Yes. Yes. So this is where we're getting into, like, you definitely, the rules are different in every jurisdiction, every state. So this is 100% why you definitely need to consult with a professional attorney who does wills and trusts and estates wherever it is that you are, because you want to make sure that it can be handled easily. I have the situation, I have two sisters. So it's inconvenient when instead of one kid getting each property, all the kids get 30%, 33.33% of each property. And in fact, that's inconvenient for them, right? Because what happens is if they decide to split it so every person gets an individual property anyway, then what happens is the government treats that as a gift from the other siblings from their portion. And so that changes the taxes, that changes everything. So there are ways, I believe, that you can write in to a will or a trust saying that, you know, you dictate that all of the inheritors receive approximately the same proportion, but they do not need to receive the same exact amount of every, like, there's probably some way that lawyer could write it up. But absent that, yes. And that's why it's really important to have a will or a trust that you've consulted with a professional about.
What are best practices in terms of letting people know that they're in your will or trust? I guess in a trust, they would have maybe had to sign paperwork, but what,
No.
like, can you inherit a property and like not know it's coming and just be like shocked? That sounds like a not good idea to me.
It's not a good idea in the sense that, you know, the metaphor that I've been using is like you're just kind of getting pushed into the pool and told to figure out how to swim. It's a really nice pool. Like it's a cool pool to get something, right? Like to get a property that you weren't necessarily expecting. But sometimes these properties are not necessarily like a really cool gift. You know, you're imagining like, oh, I have like a beach condo in Malibu that I wasn't expecting. Isn't that great? Yeah, sure, that's great. But getting, you know, an undeveloped, there's no road, there's no utilities, like patch of dirt in the middle of like nowhere, Wisconsin, where there's more cows than people, and you live not in Wisconsin, like that's a whole, you know, that's actually possibly more trouble than it's worth. And that can be, yes, really difficult if you didn't know that was coming to you. In addition, if you inherited the property, you inherit all the responsibility of the property, even if you were not involved in the original decision to purchase the property and you weren't involved in any of the maintenance or anything. You know, if you inherit a property that has a habitability problem and there is a tenant living there, then you are responsible
Yeah.
for fixing that when you maybe had nothing to do with it having a habitability problem or something like that. You've been, you know, managing rental properties, so you know having a habitability issue is like a major, major problem. And if you didn't know that that was coming and you have, you know, you're in, you know, computer science or something, you have no training, it's actually kind of more of a curse potentially than a gift.
Yeah. Well, and you've got to pay the taxes, right? So let's say like you get this I would for sure, I can tell you, not want to inherit a land that has like no easement, no utilities in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. I for sure like would not want that. And that would make me like a little annoyed to even receive that. But maybe there's somebody who's like an expert on land in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin that would really like that. I'm not sure. The odds of me being related to that person are probably very low. So I would understand, I guess, if some long lost relative was like, Lauren's into real estate, let's give her this patch of land. But on the other side of things, too, I have four properties. I have, and my husband and I, like, let's say two of them go to my family, two of them go to his family. We have no kids. I think that would probably be the easiest way to do it. But nobody in our family runs, for example, short-term rentals on the west coast of Florida. That poses a huge issue to me. And it's like, okay, should I require that they be sold? Probably not. Like, this is really complicated stuff. It seems kind of simple, like, oh, inheriting a property, but it's really not.
Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of people, they start to learn about it like that when it happens to them and not necessarily before that. And, you know, most people manage to figure it out. Even a, you know, a property with no access, no roads, no easements in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, is still worth something. And you could potentially sell it to someone who does know what they want to use it for. I mean, but that's one of the things that a lot of, you know, real estate development podcasts talk about, is how you can basically underprice something. So you can get a good deal if you're the buyer because someone doesn't know what something is worth. And that's actually where a lot of those deals happen, is people who are inheriting real estate that they have no idea what it is or how to manage it or anything like that. And it's still a benefit potentially. Like you're still getting, you know, maybe this patch of nothing in nowhere, Wisconsin is $100,000. That's what you got out of it. Great. But if you find out later it was worth 300, you might be like, or yeah, but you didn't necessarily know. And it takes a whole bunch of work to figure that out. And you don't know what the answer is going to be. Maybe you find out it was worth 50.
There's positives and negatives to inheriting a property. Can we, let's talk about the good stuff first. What are some of the good things about inheriting property?
Right. So, I mean, the most significant obvious advantage of inheriting a property is that it doesn't require you as the inheritor to make a purchase. So it kind of eliminates the financial burden and the related financial complexities involved in the buying process. That doesn't mean there's not financial complexities, but that it's not from you trying to like make a down payment, go get a mortgage, prove your income and your credit worthiness, and go through the administrative burden of all of that. And you don't have to necessarily pay a lot of, there's fees that are associated with purchasing. purchasing a property that you just don't have to worry about if you inherited it. Like, you don't have to pay a real estate agent a commission if you're inheriting property. There's still other things that you probably are going to need to pay for. Like, an appraisal is not necessarily required in a in an inheritance the way it is for a purchase, but you should probably get one done anyway for tax purposes, even if you decide not to sell it.
Oh, because that would be your basis.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And the more you get it done when someone passes away, the more accurate it's going to be. And I found this out after the fact as well. We're filing taxes over a year after the initial inheritance happened. And they're like, oh, okay, what's your basis? And I was like, what is a basis? Like, what was it worth when, you know, when he passed away? And I was like, I don't know. We didn't sell it. I mean, I had a real estate agent who gave me a number if we did decide to sell it, but like, I don't know, like we didn't actually sell it. I'm assuming it was something like that. And he's like, okay, you need to get an appraiser. And the appraiser had to backdate their report over a year. And appraisers can do that, but it's a little bit more complicated than if you're getting someone who's just looking at it right then, especially if the condition of the property has changed since it happened. So there are administrative things that are involved when you inherit a property, but obviously it's nice to get that without having to go through all of the difficult steps of actually going and purchasing it yourself. That's the main plus.
What are some of the downsides?
I mean, the downsides are mostly like administrative, but especially if you're inheriting a property, I mean, that means that someone passed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Presumably it's a someone that you cared about. I mean, it's not always someone that you cared about, but usually it's someone that you cared about that has now passed away. And so you've got all of this like grief and usually complex family dynamics, or if you were not a member of the family and you received a property from somebody who does have family left, there's going to be potentially some hostility or resentment or irritation there. And you know, as you mentioned, if you have three kids, right, and they all inherit a portion of the same property and they don't get along because, you know, Jane was always the favorite and Mary was always the scapegoat. And now they're bickering over how to manage the property. And in addition, everybody's grieving. You know, you can imagine that this is a whole chaotic thing.
I'm imagining me and my two siblings inheriting a rental property. My parents don't have any right now, but let's say they did. Also, I'd be the one doing it naturally, right? Because my siblings don't.
I'm the person who does that in my family as well. Like, my sisters are definitely going to be like, can you just give us stuff without us doing anything? They're going to be and that's fine. Like, I'll be like, you know what? If I can make the decision, that's fine.
So sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Back and forth. But that's not always how it works. And so, especially if assets are being split amongst multiple people, you have to get everybody on the same page in order to get anything done, whether that be sell it or rent it or whatever. Everybody has to agree if there's multiple owners. And if they don't, you have to go to court in order to settle it. Which is expensive and time consuming. And it certainly doesn't help whatever family dynamics are already causing issues.
Right. Because you're also all grieving, theoretically.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And it might not be like I'm sad grieving. It might be like I'm mad because I never got closure grieving. There's all kinds of different, you know, ways that it could be shaking out. In addition, if the person who passed away had a romantic partner that they were not married to and that they did not put in their will or trust, usually that person still feels, understandably to some extent, like they are owed something. But they legally aren't if they were not put into the will or the trust. And especially if that person is still residing in the property, that would be a whole mess. And so this is another reason why it's a really good idea to have these conversations while the person is still here. And we were fortunate when my grandpa passed away that he had like a medical thing, and he was actually in a coma for 6 weeks. We were able to, he actually came out of the coma, and like, we were like, okay, this is the situation. And at the time, you know, we don't know if he's going to be able to make it or not. And we're like, but things are serious. Do you want to put your girl, like, what do you want your girlfriend to have? You haven't updated your documents in over 20 years, since well before you met her. We assume you want her to have something. What do you want her to have? We need to go put that on paper right now, because we don't want it to be like a thing later. And he was able to communicate that to us, and we were able to get a lawyer involved to update everything so that it was very clear what it was that he wanted her to have as opposed to what it was that he wanted his actual children to have. But you can imagine that that could have been a very chaotic situation if we hadn't had that opportunity.
Yeah, he like it was lucky he came out of the coma.
And so the complex family dynamics in an inheritance are almost certainly like the big negative that you're going to have to wrangle. But there's other negatives that I still personally think that they are outweighed by the positive, right? But they're still very clearly a factor. One of them is a lack of choice, right? If you're making a purchase, you get to choose the property and where it's located. I mean, you know, in real estate, location, 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 right? If you're inheriting a property, you didn't get to pick it. You know, you could be, oh, thank you for giving me this lovely Class D property in the middle of D Detroit where things are breaking very badly. This is like way out of my wheelhouse, right? Where and sometimes, you know, you have great properties. Sometimes you were like, I would not have chosen to purchase this. I would not have chosen to invest in this. So you didn't have control over what was done to the property prior to inheriting it. You don't know if it was well maintained. You don't know if there's deferred maintenance. You don't know if there's mold hiding somewhere. And so this lack of choice can be a significant downside if it doesn't align with your preferences or needs or your
Right. Also,
expertise.
especially like I invest in small multifamilies on the West Coast of Florida, and I do mostly short-term rentals. And I painstakingly have picked these and analyzed them and done the maintenance and placed the tenants and all of these things. The idea of getting something completely out of my wheelhouse, it's giving me a little bit of anxiety as we're talking about.
Right. And I mean, like the fact is, you know, your family members that you might be inheriting these things from, like they just have different, you know, priorities and interests and skills and talents than you. My grandpa was like a Great Depression era guy who, like, whenever he didn't know how to fix something, would just go find somebody in the aisle of a Home Depot to give him a verbal description of what to do. That's not how I'm gonna operate, you know, but like yeah, that's a very common like owner type from that generation, and you know, so they maintain their properties to a standard that they think is appropriate, and to you know, with methods and means that they think are appropriate. Not necessarily going to be the case when the property comes into your possession. So you have to then fix whatever that situation is, or decide if it's not worth it and you just want to sell. And so that kind of brings to kind of one of the other big negatives, which is there's insufficient knowledge transfer a lot of times. So, you know, a lot of people imagine inheritance to be like from like crazy rich people, right? But basically, if you have a parent who owns a house, who purchased a house, even if there's still a mortgage on it, and they pass away, you have inherited a property. And that's actually not like that inconceivable for a significant portion of Americans. You don't sit
No,
back.
it's also very unglamorous when you say it like that.
No, it's like, yeah, exactly. And even if the mortgage is still there, right? As long as the value of the property that your parent has is higher than the mortgage that they owe to the bank, you have now inherited a property. You know, like if it's less, then you have a whole other giant mess on your
Well,
hands.
shouldn't be if things go well, but.
Right. But generally speaking, you know, they made a down payment and they've made however many payments. So there is a, you know, dollar amount that is, you know, yours. And if you continue to, you know, pay off the mortgage, then eventually the whole thing will become yours. But I feel like most of America will experience this at some point, like getting a portion of a property from a parent who passes away, right? And if you weren't prepared for it, if there were no conversations, if this is completely different from anything that you have had to do in your own career and education and professional development, right? Which is the case in a lot of these like smaller mom and pop inheritances, then like the detailed knowledge of what to do is not necessarily fully passed on. You know, there's like a lack of explicit information transfer, and it can leave you as an inheritor ill prepared to manage the property effectively. Again, back to that metaphor of like you're getting pushed into the pool and told to figure out how to swim. Maybe it's not a crazy deep pool, so you can figure it out, but there's definitely a learning curve. And so this also can, you know, lead to another negative. It's the responsibility for managing the property can be overwhelming. Again, especially if there's already a tenant living there. Double that or triple it if the person who's a tenant who's living there is a family member or a friend or a former romantic partner, because there's all of these other dynamics that you have to take into account that you wouldn't necessarily if it was just a regular tenant where the relationship was, you give me money and I let you stay.
Yeah.
So this can lead to a lot of stress and feeling, you know, burdened by the property. And so, you know, maybe you just don't even want this asset. And so you receive a property that you don't have any interest in. And that can be a significant problem if there's a lot of maintenance or it has a lot of financial liabilities associated with the property. And so you have to go through a whole bunch of complex problem solving in order to figure out what to do. And that can feel very daunting. Again, generally speaking, the positives of, you know, receiving an asset that's real estate, usually that has significant appreciative value in it, outweigh these problems. But it's not just like so straightforward. I do see, for understandable reasons, a lot of people on Retwit or ReX or whatever we're calling it now, right? The real estate investment portion of Twitter. They'll, you know, brag about, you know, they made it without inheriting. And that's actually very, very commendable, right? But I think the implication is that when you inherit, it's like super easy and the wheels are all skidded for you. There's a part that you got to skip that is easy for sure. But there's a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
Is
the
almost,
down, yeah, the down payment part, basically.
Right? Down payment and whatever the payments were, you missed that, which was great. You missed having to get a mortgage, which was great. But especially, you know, presumably if you're an investor, you've done a bunch of work. You've tried to, you know, do a bunch of research, experience, you know, you've done your homework. And if you are a person who inherited it, you're just like, I don't necessarily know what's going on. So I just got to figure it out.
How should you prepare to put somebody in your will to, what's the opposite of inherit? Bequeath?
I think that's the same thing. This is like the fancy Latin term or whatever.
Okay. So how should you on the bequeathing end prepare, and how should you on the receiving end prepare for this to happen?
Yeah, I mean, so the big thing is document everything you possibly can and communicate in advance. And I think in my family dynamic, I shared a story on Twitter about how my dad had actually asked my grandpa about this, because my grandpa had been flipping houses and managing his small apartments for decades. And my dad knew that there was, you know, potential at some point that he was going to need to figure out what to do. And so he said, like, hey, should I come up there and you should show me what you're doing and whatever. My grandpa was like, you'll figure it out. And I think that what he actually meant was, I don't think you'll like the way I'm running it to have a fight because it's mine, which is fair, right? It's fair. He's like, this is my property. I want to run it the way I want to run it. I don't think you're going to like the way I'm running it. And I don't really want to care about the fact that you don't like the way that I'm running it. That was the reason he was just like, you'll figure it out. He's like, once I'm gone, you can make all the decisions that you want to make and make whatever changes you want to make, keep it, sell it, whatever it is that you choose to do. I do get that perspective. And so, you know, if you're an inheritor, you shouldn't necessarily be super pushy about what the current owner should do with the property, but it is way more beneficial for everybody if you have an idea of what's going on, if you have all of the documentation in place, if you have all the paperwork that's involved, if you know who's there, if you know what the process is, if you know where you're starting, it's much easier for you to make decisions, much easier for you to make any changes that you might want to make. And if you don't have that, you have to go through a whole detective phase just to even get to that point of trying to make a decision. So you want to anticipate and understand what the process is going to be. You want to share information between the current owner and whoever it is that you're planning on. If you're the current owner, whoever you're planning on giving it to, you want to prepare for the family dynamics. Like if you're a parent and you know that you have two children who go like, mar, 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 you want to have a conversation with them about that, or set up the will and trust so that that's not as much of a factor as best you possibly can. And you want to, you know, plan for the emotional and practical aspects of what will happen when this occurs. And I do want to make mention something that if you are not necessarily into the space, you haven't done any estate planning yet, you might not be aware. It is insanely better for a property to be transferred via trust as opposed to via will or the legal inheritance process of the state. Because if it's done through a will or the legal inheritance process through the state, you have to go into probate court just to be able to get control of the asset. You have to get permission from the judge to be able to do anything. Like that includes like collecting rents or paying taxes or getting into the bank account or anything like that. If you have a trust set up, then everything happens automatically. And so I'm not, an attorney, so I'm just giving like a practical thing of what you should go talk to your attorney about. But a huge favor that you can do to your inheritors is to make sure that the way that they are inheriting is through a trust and not through a will or through whatever the default process is in the state, because that's going to be way more paperwork, way more painful, and the taxes are going to be higher as well.
Yep, not a lot of people know that. So we got into this a little bit. I think this will probably be my last question. So let's say you're inheriting a property. You said you should get it appraised. Love that. I also feel like maybe you should get it inspected as we're talking, that might be something that let's say like you inherit a property, you've got 10 grand, and you realize this thing's got like 20 grand of deferred maintenance that has to be done in the next year. I'd like to at least know that. So that was something that I was thinking about as you were talking, but what else should people be doing when they first inherit that property?
Right. So, I mean, the first thing that I would do is I would build my team of professionals that you and potentially your fellow inheritors, if you're dealing with other family members at the same time, that you can consult with for all of the legal and financial implications. And this is going to cost a little bit of money. It shouldn't cost a crazy amount of money. It should be in the hundreds and low thousands of dollars, not like much higher than that, unless you have an insanely large asset. But, especially, you need to be able to talk to people who are aware of the law and who can give you specific advice as tailored to your situation. So you're going to need a lawyer. You might need multiple lawyers depending on what their areas of expertise are, but you should have a lawyer who knows about wills and trusts. You should have a lawyer that knows about real estate transfers. You should have a lawyer that knows about landlord-tenant law if you have anybody living there still, whether that be a romantic partner or a tenant. And you should have a lawyer that's aware of like business formation and the tax implications, so they can help you set up whatever situation it is that you want to do if you decide to keep the property. You need a CPA. And if the CPA doesn't do bookkeeping, then you'll need a bookkeeper as well, to get, tax advice from that person. You need a realtor or a broker who can give you advice about like what selling a property would look like, and you need an appraiser. That's the very, very minimum. You were talking about an inspector. A formal house inspector is not a bad idea, but you could also find a general contractor and you could have them walk the property with you and give you an idea. And there's kind of pluses and minuses to both sides of that. And the thing to keep in mind is, the lawyer and the CPA are going to be mostly just doing whatever you tell them your goals are. They're not necessarily invested in you taking any particular path one way or the other. But most of the rest of the professionals that you might involve are going to
Sure.
push you in a particular direction
Yeah.
that
If you get a contractor involved, they're going to want you to remodel it. You get a realtor involved, they're going to want you to sell it. Yeah, I can see where that's going.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think you should get a realtor involved regardless, even if you think that you want to keep it, to just get them on board, and that gives you an idea of what you think it actually would be. Now, I do want to say, if you inherit a property, you need to get a realtor for that type of property.
Yes.
You do not want to have a realtor whose expertise is in single family homes be talking to you about your apartment complex, because that's another common thing that the members of RichWit, celebrate is when a residential realtor misprices a small apartment asset because they don't really know what they're doing and they don't know how to market it right. So you do want to make sure that you get people who have the actual expertise in whatever it is that your situation is. You can ask for referrals from other professionals as well. So that's the first thing that I would do if I was starting from scratch, is just build out that team, because those are going to be the people whose advice and expertise that you're going to need to, reference. And then, from there, you're going to want to do research into what the legal status of the property is, especially if you share ownership with other members who are inheritors, or if there's any contested, disagreement about who owns something. And you'll want to figure out what the process is of transferring the deed from, the now deceased person to either you or whatever, if you're making like an LLC or some sort of entity that you would consult with your lawyer about what would be the best idea. You want to assess the property's condition. An inspector would work for that. A general contractor would work for that. You probably need to go walk the property yourself, honestly. Regardless of whether you get a professional person involved, that might be difficult to do if the property is located far away in a not very accessible area. But I'm assuming if that's the situation, you're kind of going straight to the how can I sell this
Sure.
situation. But you want to determine, like, is this a class A property, a class B property, class C property, class D property? That's going to determine both the value and it's going to give you an idea of what the practical considerations are if you do decide to keep it. As a class C and a class D property are high touch. There's a lot more work that goes into it.
Horrible.
Yeah, and you don't get as much, financial benefit from it in terms of rents because they're not as high value properties. But those are also the ones that are most likely to be in this mom and pop scenario. To figure out what are the financial obligations. Is there a mortgage or other like liens? Is there property taxes, especially if they haven't been paid? What are the insurance? My grandpa had no insurance on any of his properties. And when I found that out, I was like,
I
oh,
believe you. I
no.
totally believe you. I don't think that's abnormal at all.
Especially for like I said, Great Depression era, owners. He's like, owner insurance is a ripoff. And was like, my goodness, like, no.
Insurance is scam. Yep. My grandma's of the Depression era as well. So I can hear it now.
I know, right? And I don't even necessarily disagree with them, but I'm also like, having visions of like everything falling down or burning down.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you want to check that and see if that's in there. And then you want to think about what are your future plans? Like, how important is your current career and educational trajectory? Is this something that you want to, rearrange your life for? Or is it something where you'd rather have a cash infusion? Or is it something where you're like, in the long term, I do want to get into this, but right now I can't. So I need to involve a property manager,
Yeah.
So those are all kind of the different pieces that you need to figure out basically as soon as you get it and you're trying to move from there.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I mean, I can go on about this for all day. I think that the big thing is the best communication that you can have, and getting everything written down and all like copies of all the leases, all the documentation. That if you are trying to, if you know that you're going to inherit, you should communicate to whoever it is that you'll inherit from that that is the real gift. It's not just the property itself. The information that is related to the property. It's having all the documents in an accessible place. It's having them as documents instead of some sort of like, handshake agreement or something. And it's like if I can figure out what to do in like a couple weeks, that is the gift. Not, me having to take months or even years to figure out you like what to even do in a situation. That's not as much of a gift as it is a responsibility that may or may not feel like it's a benefit to you. And usually if you're inheriting and someone is passing something on to you, that's what they want to give you. They want to give you a gift. They want to give you something that sets you up for, your future success and gives you a bump. And so it's really good to communicate that that's what that looks like.
Communication is a gift. I love that. Well, why don't you tell people again how they can get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me by finding me on Twitter at Ruthie Rentals. I'm still in the process of getting like some blogs and articles and other things all getting up. I've been doing this for 5 years now, so I'm trying to make some, reach out and connect with people who are the same position that I was 5 years ago, like trying to start from scratch and figuring it out. And I'd love to reach out and finding other people who are kind of navigating this kind of abrupt, I think, for some of them, great generational wealth transfer that's happening right now.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter, X at Adulting is Easy, Instagram at Adulting is Easy Real. This video and some clips from this are on the YouTube as well at Adulting is Easy. And if you guys like this episode, you also like episode 33, Five Talks You Should Have With Your Parents, and episode 38 about financial abuse. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Hopefully, Ruthie and I have made adulting a little easier for you.